following is a presentation of Real Racing USA. Is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200!
Holy cow, it is that time again. It is time for Straight Line with Stevie every Wednesday night here on Real Racing USA. Stevie, you know, a few weeks ago you were talking with Greg Krennic, and you were talking about that lottery ticket you had. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Did that come true or what?
Well, no, that one just kind of went in the pile with about another 100 of them, I guess. That I will tell you that I didn't win anything. But so far, in the last year, I buy one for my dog, Lucy. Lucy has won $85 on the lottery, and I haven't won anything. So,
all right for Lucy.
I'm telling you, from here on out, I told my wife, Rita, I said, everything's going on, Lucy. The little girl's hot. It's just a matter of time before she hits the big one.
All right, what stage has Stevie got lined up tonight?
Well, I've got somebody else that's hot. I'll tell you what. I got Kathy Fisher here. She races in the IHRA. She's the director of race operations of the Performance by Fisher Racing Team out of Lima, Ohio. And she runs in Quick Rod. They have a top dragster. And it has run in the past in both NHRA and IHRA. And also, she's a TV personality. You'll see her on Speed Scene TV a lot. She's out there an awful lot. And she's darn good at it. In fact, whether she's racing or she's on TV, it's always a pleasure to get a chance to talk to her. Kathy, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great, and even better now after that awesome introduction. How much do I owe you for that?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. Well, and I have to say that Lucy is earning her keep. She's trying to help out around the house, you know, by winning some of that lottery money.
Oh, absolutely. She's an amazing German Shepherd for all you animal lovers out there. I've had German Shepherds all my life, and they're awesome.
I'm going to have her have a chat with Mandy and Maya, because my two Shelties haven't won us any money, so I'm going to have to, you know, have Lucy give some lessons or something.
Well, enough about my Lucy. Okay. I want to hear all about you. Now, last year, you had a great season.
Yes.
Finished eighth in Quick Rod.
Yep, finished number eight. Very proud of that, considering that was only my third year competing in the Pro-Am, you know, in the IHRA, running the national events and the divisional events, and won my very first national event up in at Cayuga, at, you know, the Toronto race, at the Canadian Nationals, and that was absolutely phenomenal. Now, we hope to continue to build on that. I'm still going to be running Quick Rod this year. Last year, Kevin, my husband, who's our other team driver, we were hoping to have his brand-new Canister Motorsports top dragster for last year, but it didn't happen that way. And, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason. I'm not complaining about last year whatsoever because it was phenomenal, but we finally are going to get to have Kevin's new top dragster this year, and we've had so many fine people come on board to help us out, not only with this car, but our team in general this year. Stevie, it's just absolutely awesome.
Well, now, are you going to still run both NHRA and IHRA, or what are your plans?
Actually, our plans as of right this very moment is to stick only with IHRA this year. And we haven't decided if we're going to claim points in Division 1 or 3. We'll obviously race both of them. And eight national events, although IHRA has changed it this year. You can only claim your best three out of five national events. We still plan on going to eight, one being we love to race, two being because we're not exactly sure when we're going to be debuting Kevin's new top dragster, and three, our parent company, which is Performance by Fisher, Inc., is now an IHRA contingency sponsor, so we're going to make sure that we are, you know, at as many races as we can be to support our customers.
Well, I think that's absolutely awesome. And this, now, tell me just a little bit about this sponsor deal that you've got going to help the guys out in IHRA.
Well, I tell you what, we are actually one of the largest American Racing and Weld Racing distributors. And American Racing and Weld Racing, they're making some changes. They're getting their manufacturing plant all under one roof, and while they're doing that, obviously they're taking a step back a little bit on some of the contingency and things so they can kick out product faster for our racers. While they're doing that, Performance by Fisher, Inc., we have stepped up to be a contingency sponsor for, you know, all of the sportsman classes at seven national events. And you'll be able to see those all on either our website, performancebyfisher.com, or IHRA.com by clicking on the contingency page. And we're also going to be paying contingency at all nine team summit finals in box and no box for 2008.
Well, I think that's just that's awesome, because the racers need all the support they can get to make it to and from these races. And it's great that you've really stepped up to the plate.
Well, and we understand that, being racers ourselves, and we know how important that is when you make it all the way to the final round, whether you're the winner or the runner-up. Hey, when you make it to a final, that's a win in my book. And we want to make sure that these folks, you know, you need extra stuff to shoot for. That's why we're there, and that's why we do it. So we're looking forward to working with people this year and IHRA with a contingency program, and it's going to be fantastic. And you know, Stevie, you were mentioning about some of the TV stuff that I have coming up this year. Inside Drag Racing is something. I'm going to be working with Ted Jones this year doing some of those shows as well.
I think that is really, really awesome. Ted Jones, one of the legends in motorsports. Boy, I'll tell you what, he has put on many a TV show, and he has been a major supporter for drag racing.
Oh, absolutely. And he's just, you know, a wealth of knowledge, and he's great to be around. And I love working with him and his crew, and this is going to be pretty exciting. Last year I did some Mother's Car Show competitions working with Ted and some of the other shows like World of Trucks and things. But doing the inside drag racing shows, that's going to be just a lot of fun. And obviously those are going to be on my off weekend. So it sounds to me like I'm almost going to be at a drag strip in some way, shape, or form all season, and I really couldn't complain at all.
Well, you know, you're going to be out there having all the good times. How about that young man you're married to now? Tell us a little bit about your shop back home and just what he all performs services there.
Well, at Performance by Fisher, obviously, we are the American Racing and Weld Racing distributor. But Kevin does a lot of custom exhaust and high-performance applications and everyday auto repair. And right now, he's just really concentrating on getting this new top dragster done, which Dale Canister of Canister Motorsports, he is the one. This is Dale's very first dragster that he's building. And it is, you know, obviously the way Dale is, and he really has it together. This car is going to be great. Kevin has been working with a lot of our new sponsors like Ohio Crankshaft and Cohen Engineering and, you know, Hoosier and Weld and CSR, and I mean so many, to get this new car together. And we can't thank all of these people enough for coming on board with us, and including a lot of the folks who have stuck with us over the year, like Amelie and Autometer and things like that. And, of course, our cars will still be powered by Torco.
Well, you know, it looks like 2008 is going to be a great season, but I got one more little thing in there that I heard about, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's tomorrow. Is it not your birthday?
Yes, it will be.
I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to wish you happy birthday.
Okay. And I do have one more thing I want to throw out there that's kind
sure.
of I'm excited about. Starting, it was actually today, we can officially announce that I will be handling all of the PR for the Calbones Grill and Sauce IHRA Alcohol Funny Car Team, which is driven by Lori Canister. She finished number 9 last year after only being out at 3 races, 2 of them with the Calbones team. Dale Canister, Mike Couch, they're going to be working together like they did at the end of last year with Kevin and Wendy Sims. And just remember that Calbones Grill and Sauce is not just for your butt.
Well, I'll tell you what. That gal
you had to
drive.
Remember.
In fact, both of you can drive. And if this dragster is anything like what I have seen come out of their stables, it is going to be one awesome ride.
Well, and Dale built the brand-new body, and I know you got a chance to see it last year on my car, Steve. And Dale, I was just totally impressed with what he did, and that's why we can't wait for him to do an entire car. It's just going to be phenomenal for Kevin to get out there and finally get to move into top dragster.
Well, I think that is really, really cool, Kathy. Kathy, looks like it is going to be an awesome, awesome year for you.
Yes, it is, and I hope I have more things to share with you, and I can't wait to see you at the first national event. I probably won't get to see you for a little while this year. We won't be in San Antonio, but we will be in Rockingham later this year, and, of course, starting off the year in Rockingham for the Summit All-Star Shootout at the Spring Nationals. And if for some reason you happen to be in the area, you know you're welcome to come over.
Oh, I know. I can always stop by and get a hug. That's a wonderful thing about the job I do.
Oh, yeah, and we love you doing it. So thank you very much, and I really appreciate you having me on tonight.
Oh, and I tell you what, I guarantee we'll have you back some more.
Cool.
Kathy, thank you so much for coming on this evening.
All right. Have a good night, and by the way, Lori says hi.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lori Canister, I'll tell you what, she's going to be on sometime through the year, too, as we talked with her, if you remember, Jack.
Yes, that's right. And you know what, Stevie? Kathy Fisher just is not busy enough.
No, she's not. She only has about, I guess, 8 or 9 things going at one time. There's probably 2 or 3 more things in there she just didn't even tell us about yet.
Exactly.
Kathy Fisher is really a cool gal. She's excellent on TV, excellent racer, just a total package, total package.
All right. I guess we're going to be back here in a few minutes after a short break with Bob Drapp. What are we going to talk about with Bob?
Well, Bob Drapp is a teacher, and we're going to discover a little bit about what he does as far as teaching. He is also the Sim 3 ET champion, along with the Rutger Performance Supergas champion in the All-Harley Drag Racing Association. So that should be interesting as well.
Sounds cool. We'll be right back.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
Just a-
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Hey, welcome back to Straight Line with Stevie for this Wednesday, January 30th, 2008. And Stevie's hooked up with Bob Drapp. Go ahead, Stevie, take it away.
All right. I got Bob Drapp on the phone here. Just to give you a little background on this guy. This guy, he pulled double duty last year in the All Holy Drag Racing Association. He is the current world champion in Sim 3ET. And also Rutger Performance Super Gas. And these are two extremely competitive classes. And I want to find out from Bob just how in the world he managed to pull it off. Bob, good evening. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And you?
Oh, excited to get a chance to talk to you. I want to ask you, I'm going to go right at it. First off, Sim 3ET, I think, is the toughest class to win there is of any of the classes in the HDRA, for the simple reason, there are so many competitors come to every single race. The list is just endless on the guys that are out there duking it out, week in, week out, trying to get that championship, and you did come out on top. Tell us a little bit about your race for the championship.
Well, it's been a pretty eventful race, really. I mean, every race this year, some of them I did pretty well, some I didn't. There's a lot of tough competitors out there, like you said, because it's not only like any other class where you have a certain number of competitors, but you have competitors that race multiple classes, and most of them do run ET. And there's, you know, from almost every class, including some of the pro classes in there. I've run up against Junior Pippen at one race, and I've run against Stan Shepard, pro gas racer, quite a number of times, and they're all in there.
Well, also, you had quite a battle in the points chase with Bill Rowe Jr. as well, another man that is in multiple bikes.
Yeah, he and I switched the lead back and forth a few times throughout the season, and it came right down to the very final race, and there was, I believe, less than two rounds that separated us, probably one round at the end of it all.
Well, I'll tell you, excitement was the name of the game for you, because also in the Redcar Performance Super Gas class, you basically duked it out with Terry Tripp and James Serber, and then finally you secured it with a win at Vegas. Tell us about that drag race.
Oh, that was I was a little bit nervous about it because I really wanted to win again this year. And coming into that race, I was, I think I actually had the lead after Pomona in the points. And Server was right behind me, and so was Terry Tripp, and also Keith Riddell was in it as well. And going into the Vegas race, any one of the four of us could have come away with the championship, depending on how we finished. And when we got to the second round, Server was out, Riddell was out, and Tripp was out. So that left just me. So at that point, I knew I had it.
It was do or die. Put it to the floor and let her go.
Oh, yeah.
Come out on top. So that gave you two championships in a single year. What does it feel like to be a multi-time champion in the same year, two classes?
Well, in some ways, it's hard to believe that I could actually do that. It's something that I've worked at for many, many years. In fact, in the 2006 season, I almost had it. I missed the ET championship by 40 points. I was runner-up previous year, so... I was close, and it came right down to it again. I didn't know for sure if I was going to get either one at first. But by the end of the day at Vegas, I knew I had this Super Gas Championship, but I wasn't sure about ET until the next day after the points count was done.
Well, I'll tell you what, good, tight racing action. That's one thing the All-Harley Drag Racing Association has got, some extremely tight competition in all their classes. Well, let me ask you one thing here. We've talked about your race a little bit, but let's find out, what does the two-time champion Bob Drapp do for a living down there in Winter Haven, Florida?
For a living? I teach at the Motorcycle Mechanics Institute. I teach people how to work on motorcycles.
Wow, how long have you done that now?
I've been doing this 19 years.
19 years? So you're really at home then when it comes to riding bikes. Have you always been a Harley man, or did you ever venture off into any of the other types of bikes?
Well, I've had Harleys for most of my life. All the motorcycles I've had is Harleys, but I've also had some Japanese bikes along with that. I've owned more than one motorcycle at pretty much any given time, and I've had at least always one Harley. And now in my collection, I've got one Yamaha, one Kawasaki, and three or four Harleys and a Buell.
Well, this has got to be some really nice credentials to tack on to your teacher's degree. Whenever you open your class up, you really have some heavy weight there whenever you start talking to the guys. How do your students feel about you racing bikes?
Quite a few of them are very impressed by it. And the really neat thing is it's very easy to keep their attention. And I can always relate back to one of the very important things I impress upon them is that when I go to these races, not only is it that I enjoy what I do at the races and I have a great time, but I run into so many other people that enjoy the racing. And the really, really neat thing about this all is that so many of the people out there racing are graduates of this school.
So a lot of your competitors were your students.
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, you have to be careful because you could be training the man that would knock you off then.
Oh, that's a very, very distinct possibility. In fact, Wayne Pugh is a graduate of MMI, and he's been my nemesis. He knocked me out of the ET Championship in 2006 at Vegas, and he knocked me out of ET this year again at Vegas. Lucky I collected enough points before he knocked me out. He's a very accomplished racer, and there's so many other good racers out there that are graduates. J.P. Henderzak is another one who was national champion in 2006 for ET.
So you've really done more than just race in this sport. You've been a contributor to this sport by training and developing the skills on many of the riders out there in the world of motorcycles.
Oh, that's true. I share a lot of my knowledge. In fact, pretty much anything. I really tell them I have no secrets. Anything they want to know, ask me.
So with 2007 in the books, just what do we see for 2008 from Bob Drapp?
Well, I'm not about to retire. I have to step up a little bit here because everybody else has also done the same thing. The competition was a lot tougher in 2007 than it was in 2006, so I'm putting a little more technology in the bike this year, and hopefully that will be enough to keep up with everybody else.
Can you talk about some of the modifications that you might be making and perhaps a little background as to why you'd look at certain things? I know a lot of the guys out there ride bikes are always looking to try and improve performance, whether it's street or on the strip.
Well, first of all, one of the important things that I do is I make a lot of runs. I go to a lot of practice sessions whenever I can. I just threw out a bunch of time slips that I had collected over the last couple of years, and I had over 500 time slips that were quicker than 10 flat that I threw away that were accumulated over the last 2 years. So I've made a lot of passes. And I look at all of these runs, and I look at where I can improve the bike as far as jetting, mid-range jetting, high-speed jetting, clutch management, tire, and so on. And I look at improving just very little things. Just a tweak of the tire pressure by 1 pound sometimes makes a bit of a difference. I am stepping up with some improvements in the clutch management area, and possibly better ignition system, a little better management of shift points, and so on.
Now, on your two Harleys, you're not restricted to buying like original equipment parts. You can use aftermarket parts on these both of these classes. Am I correct?
That is correct.
What type of parts do you normally look for? I know just like in the four wheel drag racing, you know, you're looking at guys love like crane cams, or they're into Elderbrock carburetors or Holley carburetors, Elderbrock manifolds, this type of thing. And What is your choice for some of the major components that goes on your
that's
bike?
That's a fabulous question, and the answer I have is the first thing that I do is anytime I'm looking for part, I see if they're a contingency sponsor. That's a main thing that I consider. And then after that, I look for something that will be durable, something that has a good reliability factor, and something that has a good reputation, and something that has product support. They have technical people on hand that can answer questions or resolve situations that may possibly come up.
Well, you know, one of the things that has always been one of my fascinations in drag racing is exhaust. And in the world of V8s, you know, everything is equal length, tuned, step headers. In the world of motorcycles, do they have something, they use the same technology? Is there such a thing as a step header in motorcycles? And
Oh, yes, there is, definitely, and that is what I'm using, and it is pretty much my own design. I work the formulas out, and this is stuff that we teach at the school here, and I had it fabricated by the manufacturer that does my chassis, D&G, over in Largo, Florida.
So at your school down there, basically the guys can almost, as they go through class, build and design their motors that they would like to run. Is that how they do it?
Pretty much when they take the Screamin' Eagle high-performance classes in the Harley section, they learn all about performance theory and how to select appropriate components for the level of performance that they're looking for.
You know,
yeah, they can design their own stuff.
But we talked about you racing and being extremely successful in Sin 3ET and, of course, Rutka Performance Supergas. Do you plan to continue to run in those two classes and go for repeats on both classes?
I definitely intend to continue competing in those classes, yes, and back-to-back championships. That would certainly be nice. It's certainly an achievable dream. However, the competition is very tough out there. There's a lot of very good racers. So whether I can actually do it or not remains to be seen, but I intend to be out there.
I'll tell you what, I'm really looking forward to it, Bob, and I appreciate you coming on this evening and sharing some of your knowledge with us. And I also look forward to seeing you down in Florida for the first race. It's almost like a home track for you down there. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Bob, thanks again for coming on this evening.
Thanks for having me on.
Bob Drabb, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, two-time champion. And believe me, that is one tough achievement. Great guy.
And a teacher.
Great guy.
And a teacher.
Oh, yeah. He teaches what he preaches. Well, I'll tell you what, he can put it to the ground. It's just, you know, a lot of times they say about, well, you know, you go to teach whenever after you're through learning, you know. Well, this guy, he's really on his game. He gets out there and he still rides, and he is the man in two classes. And a super nice guy, laid back, very relaxed, just a pleasure to be around, just a really nice guy.
Stevie, now next week I think you're going to start adding some, you're going to have a news segment here where you might give some news out that everybody may not know.
Well, you know, we're going to sneak that in on you tonight. In fact, next we're going to see if we can't run down a gentleman who sells racing fuel. And right now, the rumor is that there's a possibility of a shortage in nitro.
That's right.
You know, we'll find out if that's true or not. We're going to have Jim McMonagle come on, the gentleman who owns Outlaw Racing Fuel. And Outlaw Fuels, I'll tell you what, if he doesn't know, then nobody knows.
All right, that's cool. So that's coming up right after this break. We'll be right back. Straight Lining with Stevie.
Park City Racing. It's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Jim Dygert from Keels and Wheels Magazine. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XS Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Hi, welcome back to Straight Line with Stevie. And I just want to remind everybody that if you go to realracingusa.com and click on the link there, send us an email. Let us know what you think of Stevie, Straight Line with Stevie. If you want to be on a guest on the show, or you got a guest suggestion, go in there, realracingusa.com, and check it out. Let us know. Stevie, you ready to roll there?
Absolutely. Well, you know, gang, I said I would put just about a little 2-3 minute section in about rumors about things that are going on and what's happening in the world of motorsports. And there was a rumor out there circulating around that there was a possible shortage coming up in nitro for 2008. And, of course, you know it's one of our main substances that provides the power for our sport. So I thought we need to find out if that rumor is true or not. So there's one way to find out, and that was to get right to the source of one of the suppliers. And the gentleman that owns Outlaw Fuels, I have Jim McMonagle on the phone. Jim, how you doing this evening, guy?
Great, Stevie. How are you?
No, doing fantastic. And I understand you were out there at testing at Phoenix. And want to kind of touch on it a little bit. I was kind of excited. You said there was 4 different competitors out there. You told me we're running into 440s. Is that right?
Yes, there was.
Oh,
Rod Fuller has the number one spot. And I love to say that. It's with our nitromethane. He ran 444. So, things are looking good. Hillary Wills is in the 440s.
Ah.
You've also got, let me see here. Who else is there? Herbert is actually, with their backup car, they've run a 450. You've got Larry Dixon that's already been in the 440s. And then also, let's see, who else? It's, one of the Torco cars still running, J.R. Todd.
J.R. Todd.
Four cars that are in the 440s right now.
Wow. Boy, I'll tell you what, that means there's some serious, serious excitement coming up for 2008 when you have a pack of cars in testing in the 440s already. Well, one of the things that makes those cars go in the 440s is nitromethane. You're one of the major suppliers of nitromethane. And I wanted to find out, there's a rumor out there that there's going to be a serious shortage of nitromethane here in the next month or so. And I thought, who better to ask than you? What's the scoop on the nitromethane deal?
Well, let me tell you real quick, Stevie, there is no shortage of nitromethane. As far as nitromethane goes, we can supply 2,000 barrels a month right now But the biggest problem that's going on right now, it just actually happened this weekend, the amount of nitromethane that each competitor is allowed to have in their pit areas is not more than 400 pounds, which means that you're only going to be able to get, instead of having 53.5 gallons of nitromethane, you're only going to be able to have 40 gallons. So, you know, that's becoming a big problem. Right now, our marketing partners in Canada and also, you know, us here in the U.S., we're working with Homeland Security and the Federal Register to try and square that away to where we can actually go back to the 53.5 gallon that comes in a 55-gallon drum. But as of right now, the way it sits, every competitor is only allowed to have 40 gallons. Well, if you've got a championship NHRA or IHRA top fuel car, the problem is you're using 17 to 21 gallons of nitromethane a pass. So with a 40-gallon limit, you're going to get two warm-ups and one pass out of one drum. And it's making a big change. And so this is the first weekend that this has actually had to, you know, be really looked at, you know, with the Department of Homeland Security.
And I guess
I'm sorry, go ahead, Steve.
I guess that is going to be quite, at least there's going to be nitro available, but they sure are making it tough for the top fuel cars, whether it be funny car or top, you know, or the dragster, to consume it. You know, you would think, you know, of course, again, it's the government, they're not racers, and they don't understand perhaps the amount of fuel that a top fuel dragster consumes on a single pass, because when it was at 53, it was very simple. You had enough to get the job done on a drum.
Sure. Exactly. Well, now, you know what? I really honestly believe, you know, we're lobbying with the Department of Homeland Security, and, you know, we're trying to get this thing squared away, like I said, with our marketing partners in Canada and ourselves. And we're hoping that we can convince them that, you know, we need to go back to the original deal that we had where we were able to supply 53.5 gallons, because it makes it really tough on everybody. And not only that, you know, the racers aren't going to be able to transport the nitromethane themselves if they have over, you know, 40 gallons. So,
well, they really can't go anywhere and just test by themselves for a weekend without having a fuel truck follow them.
Exactly. So,
oh, my.
You know, we want to, you know, we're going to try and, you know, work as much as we can with the Department of Homeland Security and, you know, and get this straightened out, because, I mean, realistically, we all know that if you've got 40 gallons of nitromethane and you want to do something wrong with it, or you've got 53.5 gallons, it's not going to make a whole bunch of difference.
No, I can agree with that one. Well, I sure hope that you're able to work things out. And so, race fans, you just got the scoop.
Well, you know, if any of our race fans have got any questions on this, you can go to www.ehs.gov and look up Final Rule Chemical Security and look up Appendix A, Final Rule, and it'll tell you about the actual amount of nitromethane that you can actually have. But believe me, we are lobbying. We're working hard on this program. We weren't even aware of it last weekend when we were in Las Vegas selling nitromethane there. And we came here to Phoenix, you know, and BP race fields, they're pretty much on top of their game. You know, in fact, you know, we're working with them and other chemical companies to, you know, try and make this thing work, because nobody wants to run around with 40 gallons of nitromethane. I mean, it makes it hard on all of us.
Well, I hope things do get straightened out. And I'll tell you what, if anything changes, give me a call, Jim, and we'll definitely get you back on the air so we can get the word out to all of our racers.
Well, Steve, let me give you one more little thing that's going to happen all the racers need to think about. All the racers, I don't care whether you're running a gasoline car, a methanol car, a nitromethane car, or what you have, you're going to end up eventually having to go to spill deck, to where you put your drum on a spill deck, a fire extinguisher is right there. And, I mean, all of you got all the racers have got fire extinguishers, but you're going to actually have to have spill containment. So just another little thing to think about, and if anybody has any questions on it, they're welcome to go to www.outlawracingfuels.com, get a hold of us, or call me direct, and we'll be more than happy to explain to them what you're going to actually need for this year.
I really appreciate that, Jim. Jim, I got to run. I want to thank you for coming on tonight. You're always a joy to talk to, and you're full of knowledge. When we finally need to get the bottom line done, I know if I call you that I'll get it straight. And I really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you out there in Raceland this year.
I'll see you in Gainesville real quick.
Absolutely.
Thank you, and have a great weekend.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, Steve. That sums that up and clears it up a little bit, don't it?
Yeah, it does. And boy, it's really changing. Some of these rules that the bureaucracy is coming up with, they don't make any sense. There's no logic to it because they do not understand what we do.
Yeah, sometimes searching 80-year-old ladies is just a little silly.
Yeah.
Let's go take a break. We're going to come back with your buddy, your boss.
Well, one of my dear friends. And,
there you go.
Is Bill Bader Jr., and this is the gentleman. He is the driving force behind the Summit Racing Equipment Motorsports Park, the drag strip of the year. And I'm telling you, that's of the world.
Be right back.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Straight Line for Stevie with Stevie for this Wednesday night. I have an echo going crazy in my head. Stevie, go ahead.
All right, thanks, Jack. Well, Jack, I've got on the line right now the gentleman who is truly one of the leaders in the forefront of making drag racing grow. This is Bill Bader Jr. And Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, Steve, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be on this evening.
Well, I'm going to start off, first off, I'm going to congratulate you on your award for the Summit Racing Equipment Motorsports Park. In fact, for you and your team, because I know team is everything at your track, for being the track of the year. And, that's not just the United States. Those votes came in from all over, Australia, Canada, all through America. That's, wow, quite a compliment.
That was exciting. 2007 was an exciting year, and that kind of recognition, I know it meant a lot to my family and our team, and that was quite an honor.
Well, to make this change, this has been in fact Norwalk has changed considerably, and you've made some major decisions that I know took a lot to say, we're going this way or we're going that way. And one of them, I think the fans would like to hear, you made a decision to switch sanctioning bodies. Now, that is a huge decision to make. Can you give me just a little background as to just why you felt this was the way that Norwalk should go?
Well, you know, for the historians, they know that we were part of the IHRA family for 26 years, and actually in January of 98, my father purchased IHRA and moved it from its place of origin, Bristol, Tennessee, to Norwalk, Ohio. So to say that IHRA was woven into the fabric of the then called Norwalk Raceway, and Norwalk Raceway was woven into the fabric of IHRA would be an understatement. We had been with IHRA for a long, long time. We enjoyed steady, continued growth up until the last 3 years of the event, 2004, 2005, and 2006. And we had hosted that event since 1981, and we felt that we had, to be very honest with you, we felt we had gone as far as we could go, and we had showcased the IHRA stars for many, many years, and we wanted to be able to bring the NHRA stars that our fans are not accustomed to seeing into our market. And we had many, 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 and I cannot overstate this enough, many sleepless nights in making that decision, especially, Steve, when you consider that at the time, my father was a part owner in IHRA. So we felt that in order for us to continue to grow and drive our revenue, because we want to reinvest in our facility, we want to continue to move forward, and I really want to do our part to make the sport of drag racing become mainstream, like the NFL or NASCAR. And I felt that by being able to bring the NHRA stars into our market, it would afford us the ability to keep moving forward. And so after, gosh, I'm going to tell you, the better part of a year's worth of deliberation, we made the choice to switch to NHRA.
Well, along with this big decision, you also made a huge investment. Tell us about some of the things you did to your track to prepare yourself for this big launch to the future.
Well, we Steve, it has always been, we have always viewed ourselves as wanting to be on the leading edge, and we felt that the NHRA excitement and the new event would allow us to continue to resume our aggressive plans for the facility. So when the smoke cleared, we ended up spending about $7.2 million.
Wow.
And those dollars were spent in things ranging from paving 30 acres, properly basing and paving and concrete curbing and landscaped 30 acres of, excuse me, of pit area to the addition of a 2,200-square-foot state-of-the-art media center. We installed 8 luxury suites, new scoreboards, Musco sports lighting, a return road that runs in front of the grandstands, and then a variety of less glamorous work like tying into city sanitary and the infrastructure work that we knew we needed to do to be able to handle and accommodate the large NHRA crowds.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I had the pleasure and the honor of being at some of your races this year, and truly, it's just absolutely an incredible drag strip, and it is really amazing, because I had seen some pictures of your track back in the early 70s when your dad first started that track, and to look at it then, it was basically an asphalt road on a strip of farmland.
Yep.
And to see it now is just incredible what you have done. It is absolutely awesome.
Well, we appreciate that. And Steve, you are about dead on in your description. I remember the track was built in 63. It was closed. And truthfully, when my father stepped foot on the then called Norwalk Dragway, he had never seen a drag race in his life. And I remember that season, because I started working at the track in 1977 at the ripe old age of 10 years old. And I remember going there with my dad and my earliest recollections and literally
It was farm on all sides. There were about roughly 30 or 40 usable acres. It was gravel and dirt. I think the original grandstand sat only a couple hundred people. The racetrack had been also used or served as an airstrip, and so it had a three-story tower with the top floor being race control and a little concession stand, and that's really all it was. My father really deserves the credit because he was the one that had the vision all those years ago for what we could become. And you know, here we are. We see 30,000 people, and our the facility isn't where it needs to be, but I'm very, very pleased with the progress that we've made since 1974. We're very proud of the facility.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is an incredible facility, and 2007 told you something. That's what all the racers and fans feel about it as well. Well, okay, you achieved this this goal to this point. Now, what can the fans and the racers expect 2008 from the world's greatest drag strip?
Well, listen, I appreciate those accolades, certainly. Steve, we are going to continue to reinvest. It is our intention, first on the facility side. We're in 2008, we're going to expand the number of staging lanes on the west side or the summit side of the track. We also have short-term plans, probably for 2009, to look at expanding our bathroom and shower facilities to the summit side of the track. And we're going to continue to invest so we can move forward in what we call creature comfort features. And those are the things that allow racers and their families and fans to have a more comfortable and enjoyable experience. On the race side, on the event side, we've added four new events for 2008. The folks at Speed produce an event called Pink's All Out, which I'm sure many, if not all of your listeners, are familiar with. We've got a Pink's All Out event scheduled for the beginning of June that I think is going to be huge. Tickets went on sale, tech cards went on sale on December 3rd, and they sold out in 11 minutes. Steve, it was unbelievable. The best way I can describe it, unbelievable. And so we've got the Pink's All Out event June 6th and 7th. We added, I'm very proud that we are one of only two drag racing facilities in the United States that host a Good Guys event. The 7th annual Good Guys DuPont Blue Suede Cruise is going to be here in September, and September 5th, 6th, and 7th. And that is, of course, the Good Guys. They are to the street rod world what NHRA is to drag racing, and we have a long-term commitment with Good Guys. And so we're excited about that. And we're going to host the return of the Super Chevy Show, which we had hosted for a number of years, and then due to a scheduling conflict, we didn't host last year. But Super Chevy is back in 2008, the end of July. And then we have an AMA drag bike event in the beginning of October, which, Steve, I know you are familiar with the Halloween Classic.
Absolutely.
probably too familiar with the Halloween Classic. You're probably still recovering, but Steve, we want to create the motorcycle version of that, and that's what the AMA Drag Bike Fall Nationals will be the beginning of October, the motorcycle version of the Halloween Classic. So we've got those four events, plus all of our staple of events that we hosted in 2007, and we just want to continue to improve. We've put together some wonderful marketing partnerships in the off season. Probably the biggest one is we put together a program with Mosier that really will be a nice program that can earn racers thousands and thousands of dollars in bonus money for running Mosier products. So we're excited about that. And we, Steve, I'll tell you, I was as excited as I thought I could be for 2007, and believe it or not, I'm a little more excited for 2008. So we're pretty encouraged. I think it's going to be a great year.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, I know I'm looking forward to coming up there, but there's one thing I ask that you please, please, never, ever change. And that is the dollar a pound ice cream. You just can never, ever give that one up.
You know, Steve, do I have time to tell you a quick story?
Absolutely.
Okay. We hosted, in our history, dating back to 1974, for 1 year we actually had hosted an NHRA divisional race in 1 year only, and it was in 1975, I think. So we opened up in May of 2007, and we were fortunate enough to host a Lucas Oil, an NHRA Lucas Oil race. And that event landed the middle of May last year. And we had, I think by that point, been substantially complete with this $7 million plus expansion. And a racer who I did not know came up to me, and we're standing on the newly paved side. So this guy's looking at pavement for as far as the eye can see in all directions. You can see the suites and the media center. And this guy looks at me and says, "Hey, can you tell me when ice cream opens?" And I thought, my God, we could have saved the $7 million, given everybody free ice cream coupons, and they would have been, you know, just as happy. So, for some reason, ice cream has become our signature, if you will, and that is typically when we have new people visit. Ice cream is the first thing they bring up.
Yeah, you know, I do want to tell everybody, it's not just vanilla either. Oh, no, 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 no. There's a half dozen flavors out there, and it's actually a pound of ice cream for a dollar. Only the Bader family could do something like that.
Yep. Well, in the Tofts, folks, I can tell you now officially, if you care to know, we served 38,000 pounds of ice cream. That's 38,000 servings in 2007. That's a lot of ice cream.
Holy smokes. I'll tell you what, that's incredible.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, it's that time. They're going to cut me off here in just a minute because it is time for me to go, but I do want to say before I do go, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen to Summit Racing Equipment Motorsports Park in 2008. And race fans, could it get any better? Hey, it looks like it. So stay in touch, and Stevie will let you know, because fortunately I do get to go in there and do a few races, so I'm excited about that. Bill, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Well, Steve, thank you, and if you have me on again the next time we do that, if it would be okay, maybe we could give away some tickets to an event in 2008. So if you have me on again, I'll bring some tickets with me, and we'll do some type of a giveaway.
Oh, my gosh. Bribery will get you everything. Absolutely.
Well.
Bill, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Bader Jr., one of the major driving forces in drag racing. And, boy, he showed it in 2007. What a great guy. What a great facility, too. Jack, that place is just awesome. You have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, our buddy Craig Clark is constantly for the last 3 years trying to get me to Ohio.
Their Night of Fire
yep.
is just unbelievable.
And 38,000 pounds of ice cream, man.
Yeah, I looked for 40,000 plus this year.
That's off the charts. That's off the charts.
Well, it's already come to be that time. Looks like 9 o'clock stuck up on us awful fast tonight.
It sure is, Stevie. But what do we got next week?
Well, I've been working. My golly, I've got a couple already lined up. I have Dean Druschel coming on. He's the world champion in Super Eliminator for the All-Hardy Drag Race Association. He's got some new news to tell us, and he's always a pleasure. He's a bubbly personality, just a really neat guy. And also, I want to talk to T.J. Shipling, who is a rookie, and yes, he's not a rookie, but he's going to get his first ride on an alcohol funny car. Young man based out of Canada. You'll hear all about him next week as well. And also, Jack, I do want to remind you that this coming weekend, up in Greensboro, North Carolina. We will have the 6th annual Shriners Drag Racing and Hot Rod Expo, February 1st and 2nd. And Stevie will be there talking on the microphone all day long.
All right. And as I said earlier, go to realracingusa.com. You're listening to this. You're probably there already. Do a feedback email. Do it like feedback@realracingusa.com. Let Stevie know how you like the show and who you'd like to have him talk to. Talk to you next week, Stevie.
Absolutely. And always remember, drag racing, there's nothing like it in the world.
All right.